2-7-6. Guide us, O thou
chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Read Ephesians chapter 4, brethren. The precious truth of the one body of Christ is a reality, and I think it might be something for us to enjoy at this particular time. If that there's nothing further, I just suggest that.
Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Often been mentioned that in the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, we have the doctrine of the epistle. And when we get to chapter 4, The first verse mentions our walk. That's practical. And the walk is mentioned a number of times. In verse 17, it's mentioned again. And in chapter 5 and verse 2, walk in love. Chapter 5, verse 8, walk as children of light. Verse 15, walk circumspectly. So it's our walk that is focused on. But it's interesting in this chapter that verse 1, 2, and 3 are definite exhortation to walk properly in view of the truth to which we have been called. But when we get to verse 4 down to verse 16, it is, you might say, the doctrine of the epistle again. Because notice in verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit. It doesn't say, try to be one body. No, there is. It's a fact. There is one body. And so from there down to verse 16, we have more of the teaching of the epistle. And then verse 17 is where it starts again with the question of the walk. And so it just gives a brief resume of the portion we want to take up here, brethren. The first three verses then are definite exhortation to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And Paul here speaks as the prisoner of Jesus Christ. In other words, he didn't have his own liberty. We're going to have to recognize that, brethren, if we are going to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called in one body in Christ, you're not going to be able to present your own desires and try to follow them. Now, you have to give them up. A prisoner in prison doesn't say, just a minute, I got to go out here and go to a restaurant here in town. No, he can't do that. He's completely under the command of the one in charge of the prison. So I think that is significant, brethren, that if we're going to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, we're going to have to be subject to the Lord Jesus. And in that way, we can walk worthy of that vocation.
Calling is, so that we know what we're walking worthy of. And we have that brought before us in chapter 1. So I'm going to go back and make a few remarks on chapter 1 that tell us what the calling is that we are to walk worthy of in a manner that is honors the calling and the one who has called us. In chapter 1, the calling is, as it were, of God. The one that called us is God, and He purposed this calling before He ever created the world. He had in His own heart and in His own mind what He was going to do, and He had in His heart and mind what He was the role, the place that you and I were going to have in it. And without trying to go verse by verse or spending the whole time on it, His purpose was to give honor to the chief object of His own heart, His Son. God's purpose and counsels from a past eternity have been centered in His delight and His joy in His own Son. And the calling that we have been called to is the place that we are to have in relationship to the one that is the chief object of His own heart, His Son. And so that calling for us, when He first had man on earth that He separated to Himself, it was what we call the Jewish people, of which the Lord Jesus, His earthly family, He is a Jew by birth, and they were called to separate on earth from the rest of people and be a separate nation. And in chapter 1, we won't go into it, but Paul speaks of himself as we, meaning we Jews. And then he says you, and he introduces the Gentile, and almost everyone in this room is a Gentile. And we also have been brought in with the Jew into a calling to be identified with our Lord Jesus Christ, who is, in the love of God, to have the supreme place over everything that's created. For the Jew, his place was on earth. For us, when he called us with specific reference to part of what his Son is to have, which is both heaven. And so we're called in this epistle a heavenly people. Because immediately upon our calling, the Lord Jesus calls us in practice, in time, after he had come, after he had died, after he had risen, and after he was glorified and returned to heaven. And then the actual, in time, calling for us began. And where was the one we were called to be worthy of at that point? And where is he this morning? He's in the place of honor and glory at the right hand of God. On earth, he's still a rejected one. And so to walk worthy of the calling for us is to be identified with him now in the time of his rejection. And that's part of being walking worthy, is to walk worthy in view of the fact that to do so right now means to be identified with him to whom this world has said, we will not have this man. And so he's, as far as earth is concerned, rejected. He says, God says, I'm going to bring you in such a wonderful, close relationship to my Son that you have to be like him.